I had felt a lot of guilt that I just didn't add up. There was a lot of sin I needed to deal with, my adoption issue, anger issues. It just, I knew I needed to change.
Stai Gute, welcome my friends to The Storyteller, where you'll find First Nations people from across Native North America who are following Jesus Christ without reservation. Today we'll hear from a woman who was given up for adoption as a baby. While Carla was still very young, it became apparent that she had serious health issues and was diagnosed with cerebral palsy. But as you'll hear, the challenges Carla faced were more than just physical.
I'm Carla McKay. I'm Ojibwe, and my reserve is called Valley River, Manitoba, and my reserve straddles Riding Mountain National Park. I was adopted into a white family when I was 18 months old in a Mennonite family. They already had 6 children of their own, and they adopted me in their family because Child and Family Services asked them, would you take care of another child who's in need? And they said, sure, we'd love to, because they always love having kids around. And I realized it was the act of how God moved in their lives, how God touched their lives to do what he wanted them to do. And I found out later when I was 18 that I had 2 adopted brothers and an adopted sister. They also adopted, so there was 4 of us in this family, so a total of 10 of us in a 4-bedroom home. And they raised us in a strong family, values, and a Christian home. And I remember asking my foster dad, like, why did you do it? Would make no sense to other people to take other people's kids. He goes, because he told me God wanted us to do it, and we just felt that we could spread the love around. It wasn't easy because I was also born with a disability, and my birth mother had complications. So I was born small. I only weighed 3 pounds when I was born. And she didn't know much about my disability. And the doctor says, well, you either can put her in a group home or you can give her up. So my birth mother, in her good wisdom, decided to give me up for her adoption. And she thought, maybe I'll have a better life. And it was a good thing my mom chose the latter, to be adopted out, because the foster parents, my mom was a nurse's assistant, and she asked questions. So it was interesting that one of my foster uncles was a doctor. They took me to him and says, there's something wrong with Carla. Like, she's small. She's not responding. Can you check her out? We don't know what she has, but I think there's something there. So he checked me out. He goes, she has a disability called cerebral palsy. It's brain damage during birth. So he goes, if you take her to physiotherapy and stretch her legs out, and if she can't talk, take her to speech pathologist. So that's what my parents did, and my mom exercised my legs for a couple hours a day. When I was young, she would lie me on the table and stretch my legs out. When I got older, we would do stretching exercise with my legs, and it really hurt. I said, the pain was so bad, I said, was this worth the pain? Well, it was, because now I can walk. And it was so ironic how God works, that my foster mother was a nurse's assistant, and my dad was a jack of all trades. He did carpentry. He worked in a hospital. He also worked as a pastor when he was younger. So basically he did all sorts of things. And later when I was 12, he worked at a Bible college as a mechanical engineer. He was good at fixing stuff. Our family was raised with strong Christian values, and we always taught go to church. But I knew there was something different about my parents' relationship. They had something higher to help them. I knew it was God, and it was just God that helped my family deal with situations in our family, and that helped us be together in a big family. And I grew up with four sisters and five brothers, it helped me deal with being with a lot of people and different personalities, and helped me later how to deal with other people later in life. Growing up as a Native person in a white family was real interesting. My own family accepted me for who I was. They never made a big deal that I was Native. But since I grew up in a Mennonite community, it made life more interesting because it was a small community. I remember a few people in the community would whisper, "Oh, that's the family that has those colored Native people." And I was just thinking, "Oh." And then it finally hit me when I was 12 years old. Oh. I looked at my skin and I was thinking, "Oh yeah, I guess I am colored." And I realized, "Oh yeah, they are all white." But I thought, And I remember in school, it even made me worse. I think my disability I felt was more glaring than me being Native. But I realized, what I realize now is that they didn't want to talk about Native issues because they didn't want to offend me, and they didn't know how I would take the Native issues of land claims, abuse issues, or residential schools, even though that was a generation before me. It was my birth mother's generation that had the residential schools. But I guess in Manitoba, I was known as the 1970 scoop, where a lot of Native children were adopted into white homes, and we had no choice in the matter where we went. They wanted to kill our identity. They wanted to kill our culture. And then my parents also drilled into me, "You can do whatever you can accomplish, and it has nothing to do with you being Native." So I think my parents always said I could accomplish, and I needed that to help me. But it sure, people kind of avoided the issue with Native issues. And I was really disappointed that people didn't ask me how, as a Native person, I felt. But I guess they didn't know much back then, in the 1980s when I grew up, like they do now. Now, I'm glad we're dealing with these issues now and talking about it, because I think if we don't, the Native people, I feel my people, are going to be stuck in the past. And if they want to heal and move on, they should talk about them. When I was 15, I became a Christian at a Christian concert. And I always wonder what happened to the artist, because it's been a while since I've heard about him. And I remember I liked his music. He toured around Canada and the U.S., and I was thinking, he's different. I want what he has, his Christianity and his relationship with Jesus made a definite impact, and I knew I wanted to have a personal relationship with Jesus. So that's what happened. I always knew I needed Jesus, and I knew I was a sinner because I heard that a lot. I went to church since I was 18 months old till I was 18 when I lived with my family, and I knew about Jesus, who was God, and then I knew about sin because before I became a Christian, I felt a lot of guilt that I just didn't add up. There was a lot of sin I needed to deal with. My adoption issue, anger issues. I knew I needed to change. I wanted to have a relationship with God because I wanted to go to heaven and not to hell. In order to have a relationship with us, God sent Jesus. Jesus had to die on the cross to bring God to man. I know man who was born with sin, but Jesus died and took away our sin, our guilt, our pain. I knew I wanted a personal relationship with God. I wanted to have a personal relationship with Him, be a Christian. So that's when I gave myself to God. And I knew it was different. It wasn't easy, but I knew that God loved me and He wanted me to have a better life. It's not an easy life. I know life's hard and it's not fair, but God will give you the strength in order to deal with the hard times, with what you're going through. And I've just realized, hey, if God can do that, then I know I can deal with life, because I've later come across tragedies where people, where some of my friends have given up and committed suicide. And I've known the struggle with that, because when I was 18, I really struggled with low self-esteem and identity issues.
There are many things in this life that are hard to understand. And while we may never have answers for them, we can be sure of what Jesus Christ said. Listen to His words. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He who believes in Him is not condemned, but he that believes not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. My friend, if you haven't yet humbled yourself and put your trust in Jesus, why not now? If you'd like to know more, visit our website withoutreservation.com and click on the tab New Life. You can also write to us at The Storyteller, P.O. Box 1001, Bemidji, Minnesota, 56619. That's The Storyteller, P.O. Box 1001, Bemidji, Minnesota, 56619. Our phone number is 877-766-4648. We're also on Facebook at Without Reservation. Missed a program or want to listen again? You can download our app and take The Storyteller with you. Thanks for listening. And remember, the greatest story took place at the cross. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. There's more to Carla's story, so be sure to join us again next time as we listen to The Storyteller.